Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to A Slob Comes Clean, the podcast. I'm Dana White. I blog almost every day over at aslobcomesclean.com. That's where I share my personal deslobification process. That basically means that I tell the completely honest and never-ending story of my personal deslobification process as I figure out ways to keep my own house under control. I share the truth about cleaning and organizing methods that actually work in real life for real people who don't necessarily love cleaning and organizing. Today, we're going to talk about selling versus donating, because this is something that can trip up people who are decluttering, especially people like me who maybe, you know, have tended to struggle with decluttering at certain points in their life. So we're going to talk about selling versus donating. Before we do, though, I do want to remind you that this is podcast number 25, and you can go to the show notes for this podcast at aslobcomesclean.com/podcasts with an S. On there, you will see listed the podcasts that I have published so far. If by chance you get there and there is no podcast 25 listed on that page, aslobcomesclean.com/podcasts, don't worry, it exists. It's still there. But at the bottom, it'll say, see all of my podcasts here. If you click on that, you'll be able to get to podcast 25 pretty easily. So, because sometimes I don't get that page updated right away because that's how I roll. Anyway, also wanted to remind you that you can go to aslobcomesclean.com/connect. And there you can find all of the links to my social media channels, Facebook, Twitter. What else am I on? Instagram, Google Plus, because everybody's on Google Plus, right? Whatever. Anyway, you can go there and find me on my social media channels. We now have 65,000 and at this moment, 669 people who, have liked the A Slob Comes Clean Facebook page. What that means is that there are a lot of people out there who are not too ashamed to somehow identify themselves with this page. And not that all of those people are slobs. You're not, just because you're listening to this, but you might be. So anyway, we're definitely not alone. What I once thought was my personal deep, dark secret that no one else in the entire world shared, I was wrong. There's a lot of us that struggle with these things. So let's get into the content today. I'm talking about selling versus donating. I used to be a seller. I've mentioned this in other podcasts, but I'll just say it again. I was a big time eBay seller, not big time like they're going to put me on the news for being so big time, but big time as in it was a huge part of my life. Like that's how I thought of myself because back when my kids were little bitty and we were, you know, new to living on one income, you know, we did that for several years. And then I discovered this wonderful thing called eBay where I could, come up with money. I could actually make money from home while my kids were taking their nap. And that was great. But it also kind of took over my home because I let it get out of control. I started buying things at garage sales to sell them on eBay, except that not everything sold. So I would buy a whole lot of stuff that I thought, oh, this is really cool. I bet this would sell. And then I was wrong. And then me getting it out of my house was a whole different animal. You know, trying to get that stuff out really was difficult for me. And that contributed to me hitting rock bottom and eventually starting this blog called A Slob Comes Clean because I had so much stuff in my house. So I have no problem with selling. I want to make sure that I say that from the beginning because this somehow becomes kind of an issue. Whatever people personally do, people can be really passionate about that. That is the only way to do it. Like it is so stupid to sell stuff or it is so stupid to donate donate. I say, I don't talk like that. To donate things when you could get money for it. How could you do that? You know, so it really can be a polarizing issue, which kind of surprises me. But the truth is, I want to make it clear from the beginning that I now consider myself a donator. Like, I have gotten to the point where I would prefer to donate over selling things. And I'm going to go into why I have chosen that. But I also want to make sure I make it clear that I have no problem with people selling things, because I have done that. I've sold on eBay. I have sold some on Craigslist. I much preferred eBay over Craigslist, and I'll explain that. But I also have had some monster garage sales that I have done really well for me. So I have no problem with people selling. And the main reason I say that is because you earn that money. That is not easy money. Selling your stuff, although to the person who just goes, "What? You just sold that for $40? Wow." And they're thinking you made easy money. The person who actually sells it knows that it's a lot of work. Selling on eBay is a ton of work. And having a garage sale is a ton of work. And so there is nothing wrong with selling your stuff if you're willing to do the work to actually get that done. Okay. But that money is all earned money, I believe. So I have no problem with selling, but I'm going to talk about the advantages and the disadvantages of that. And then in future podcasts that are coming up, I'm also going to give my personal tips for selling on eBay, things to help you decide whether or not you should sell something on eBay or Craigslist or whatever. And then I'm going to also give tips on having a garage sale, because I went to a lot of garage sales, and therefore I know what works and what doesn't work, and I know how to have a good garage sale. So I'm going to do that in future podcasts. I'll specifically be giving tips on that. And if you don't want to wait for that, I do have a series on my blog. I actually wrote it my very first year, on how to have a good garage sale. And there's a lot of great information in there, and I will link to that in the show notes for this podcast number 25. So like I said, selling is work. It's not easy money. It's money that you earn. Personally, I do usually donate, but there are advantages to selling. So let me explain what I see as the advantages to selling. And you have to decide, do these advantages for you personally outweigh the disadvantages? There's a great thing to be said about garage sales being a deadline. I mean, a lot of people like me who are project oriented, that is part of my brain type, I've realized through this whole process, is that I thrive with projects. I love to have something to tackle that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and then it's over and it's got the big shebang at the end. A garage sale can be that. It can be a great big project that lets you plan for things and organize things, the kind of organizing that I like. So a garage sale is that. It's a deadline, and deadlines are often a great help. So if you say, hey, I'm setting aside this weekend in May because the weather's going to be pretty, hopefully, not rain, you never know. But, you know, if I'm setting aside this weekend in May, then that gives me a deadline to declutter my house. I want to make sure I've gone through the entire house by May, and that can be very, very motivating. So that is a big advantage of a garage sale. And the motivation of money helps. Like I said, this is how, you know, selling things on eBay, that was how I made money when my kids were little bitty. And, you know, I remember we moved to our new town that we lived in. It's not new anymore. We've been here like 10 years, but when we moved to this town and I had little bitty kids, you know, we had double house payments, you know, we had a rent. We didn't buy a new house before our old one sold, in case Dave Ramsey is listening to this. Anyway, no, we didn't do that, Dave, but we did, you know, move here. And so we had a rent payment, which was just about as much as our house payment in our old house, you know, and then we had our house payment. So money was incredibly tight, like basically non-existent. We had no extra money. And that was the way that I made money for us to eat out. That was my goal. I was going to make $40 a week. And I worked my tail off, way more than, you know, what is minimum wage now? I don't know. I remember from college, it was like $4.25, I think, which shows how old I am. But anyway, let's say even if I was making $5 an hour, $40 a week would be I'm not a math person. 8 hours a week. I worked way more than 8 hours a week to earn that $40. I really did. It was a ton of work. But at the same time, it was worth it to me, because to have $40 for us to be able to get, you know, Little Caesars pizzas one night, and then the other night actually, you know, go somewhere and sit down. Our kids were little, so we, you know, were able to do that for $25, $30. But that basically was worth it to me. Okay. But it was a ton of work. So there really are advantages to selling. That money can be very motivating, depending on where you are and, you know, what you have the time to put in to earn that money. The justification of money often helps with decluttering. That can be a real hang up for a lot of people. They say, but this is really worth something. This is, you know, I could sell this. I can't get rid of this because it's worth a lot of money. Well, go ahead and sell it. If you don't need it in your house and it's not actually a personally sentimental item, you know, then go ahead and sell it. If you think it's worth a lot of money, do whatever it takes to sell that item. You're either going to have that money that you've been saying for years it's worth, or you're going to find out the truth, which is that it maybe isn't worth as much as you thought it was. So the justification of money, the motivation of money, and the deadline of a garage sale, those things are all very helpful to decluttering efforts. One of the reasons I used to love having garage sales is I loved having people come to my house and pay me money to take my clutter away. I mean, that was awesome. I loved that. Okay. And that was worth it to me to do that. There are disadvantages to selling as well, though. Sometimes you're not going to make what you think you'll make. Did I say that right? Sometimes you don't make what you think you'll make. That's just reality. Sometimes you're going to make more than you expected, but there are times when you're going to make less. The first time that I had a garage sale, you know, after I'd had a home and was on my own, you know, married and all that, first time I had a garage sale, I priced things at what I would think it should be worth. And I was wrong on a whole lot of stuff. You know, I went through the clothes and said, ooh, this should be $2 or $3. Well, I wasn't going to garage sales consistently at that point, so I didn't know. I was just thinking, well, that sounds like a really great price. Well, it's kind of a slap in the face to see that nobody was buying that item that I didn't want anyway for $2. And, you know, seeing that things didn't have the value that I thought that they would, you know. I also remember a time when I thought, you know what, I've got enough here to have a garage sale. I'm going to have a garage sale. And, you know, we're going on vacation soon, and maybe this will be the little extra cash. And so I did the work. I did not do as much work as I recommend to have a successful garage sale. But I thought, oh, I'm just going to throw this together. I bet I'll make some money. And I made like less than $50. You know, that really was not worth my time, you know, not making that. That happens on eBay as well. You know, there were many times where I would see, even if I did do the research, which I'll talk about in the future, if I did the research that it took to know that this was an item that was worth selling, but sometimes it just doesn't go like that. Sometimes every other item goes for over $10 and yours happens to be the one that goes for $5 when you started it at 99 cents, or sometimes it goes for 99 cents, you know, and you started at that thinking, oh, well, surely it's going to go way up. But if it does happen to sell for 99 cents, you're stuck with that. That's how much money you've made. So not everything sells for what you think it could sell for. And it can be very discouraging just emotionally to see at a garage sale, people coming in and not valuing the stuff that you valued and that's been cluttering up your house because it was hard to get rid of. And then you put it out there and you get to see firsthand that other people think it's junk and they don't want it. So that can be emotionally discouraging. There's no guarantees of sales. Okay. If you think about it, you know, sometimes you look around your house and think, oh, that's worth, people would want that. But then you look at how many failed, you know, shops are there in a given city or town? You know, how many times do businesses fail? And often it's because, you know, they buy a whole bunch of stuff thinking, oh, people are going to want this, and then people don't want it. I mean, that's just a reality of business that also applies to you trying to sell your own stuff. I mean, the truth is, if you may just not have the right buyer that comes by, and it can be, you know, there's no guarantee that this item is going to leave your house because you put the work into it. You know, one thing, I know a lot of people love it, and I think it can be great. I know a lot of moms who do these big resale events. You know, I know there's a Just Between Friends. Sometimes, you know, even just kids resale shops like Once Upon a Child. I think that's a national one. You can go to these places and take your kids' clothes. And I know a lot of moms, that's just what they do. They take all their kids' clothes. They enjoy doing that. They take them there. They make a little bit of money or get credit. And then they spend that to get their kids' clothes for the next, you know, year. But that is a ton of work. I do know somebody who was having a garage sale, and she said, well, I'm going to put things at a high price. I mean, we're talking like $4 and $5 for baby outfits. Y'all, that is not garage sale prices. Just so you know, maybe it is in your neighborhood, but no neighborhood I've ever visited was that a good garage sale price. But she was pricing things really high because she was like, oh, well, if it doesn't sell, then I'm going to take it over to Once Upon a Child. And so she didn't sell hardly anything because it, you know, was way, way, way too expensive for the people who were coming to her garage sale. And so she got it all together and everything had to be, and I'm not sure if it was Once Upon a Child. I don't want to, you know, say what all their stuff is, but I know that, you know, there's a lot of places you have to have things on hangers and it has to be ironed. It has to be perfect, you know, and she took a bunch of stuff and they only took out of, you know, 40 items that she had, they took like 3 items. And so she'd kind of wasted that garage sale, time that she had, which I'm going to talk about this, you know, how to kind of get down to what is it that's going to go in a garage sale. But she, you know, she'd wasted the potential customers that she had at a garage sale. And now she's got a whole bunch of stuff on her hands and she couldn't get rid of it the way that she wanted to. Okay. So there's no guarantee of, things working out, you know, because we're talking about selling, and that's any real salesman can tell you there's no guarantee that somebody's going to buy. Okay. There's ways to make it more likely. It is a lot of work. A garage sale, is going to take the time to declutter. It's going to take the time to price items. It's going to take the time to get it out and organized on your driveway or your, in your garage or in your front yard or whatever it is you're doing. It's a ton of work. Okay. It sits around, once it doesn't sell, you know, sometimes it's hard because you think, well, it didn't sell, so maybe I could sell it the next time. And then meanwhile, it's just still clutter, which can also be a disadvantage of donating, that things can sit there until you actually get out of the house.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I am so excited about my new digital picture frame from Aura. It is beautiful and it solves clutter problems. One frame that rotates, so it lets me display lots of photos. There's a new photo every 10 minutes. I am seriously delighted every time I walk by my beautiful Aura frame. Mom, I hope you're not listening, because you are also getting an Aura frame for Mother's Day. I am going to customize the gift by preloading photos onto the frame. There's a super simple app that I can share with the the whole family so they can add photos to my mom's frame too, anytime from wherever they are around the globe. I used the Aura app and I had everything set up for my frame in 2 minutes. You can upload an unlimited number of photos, invite others to share photos directly to your frame with no fees or memberships. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code CLEAN at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. When you're also in the selling mode, garage sales, not so much, but anything that you sell online, I mean, really it's seasonal. And even at garage sales, seasonal items do better. You know, it's hard for people when it's 100 degrees outside and they're at a garage sale, it's hard for them to be thinking about wool sweaters and coats and boots and things like that, you know, because they don't need it right now. And they're thinking, well, I could probably pick that up at another garage sale when it gets closer to that season and not have to take it home right now and store it for a while. You know, so it's that what would happen to me when I was selling on eBay is I would find things at a garage sale. I'd find these really, really cute snow boots. And I'd always wonder why somebody in Texas had snow boots, but I guess for skiing or whatever. Anyway, so I'd grab these snow boots and I would get them in April. Well, you know, it's going to be a long time before people are shopping for snow boots again. So then I had to store it in my house for that amount of time, you know, and if you're personally even just selling your own stuff and trying to declutter, it can be, you know, discouraging because you have to find a place to put that stuff until it's the best time to sell it and get the price that you think you should be able to get for it. Okay. So that those are some advantages of selling. I mean, I'm all about the motivation of selling. I think that's great. You do make money. Hey, I'm all about, you know, earning money. I think that's great, but you do work for it. And then the disadvantages, the advantages of donating. Now here's where I just go into again, that I am personally now a donator. That is generally what I do. I am not going to say that I'm never going to have another garage sale because I very well might. I have no problem with that, but I generally don't have enough because I donate consistently. We live in a smaller area, and when we first lived here for probably the first 6 or 7 years, we did not have any of those people who came by and, you know, picked stuff up, did porch pickups for different donation places. Where my mother lives, I think she gets a call a couple of times a week from different places that come by and pick up donations. So she can easily put out, you know, just a small grocery sack full of stuff at any time. I mean, there's always people coming by to pick up donations. Where I am, that never happened. And so that was frustrating to me. I didn't have that, but now I do. And I try to take advantage of it. It's once a month. I generally miss the day, even though I'm thinking, oh yay, I'll miss it. I don't know. 2 out of every 3 months, I'll miss it. But whenever one comes by and I do catch it and I remember to put it in my phone as a reminder, then I can have, you know, a big, whatever it is that I have sitting around in my donate spot, then I know that I can take that stuff, stick it outside the front door, put my little tag on it, and it's going to be gone, you know, by that afternoon. And that's a great, great feeling that I love. Speaking of that, I have a donate spot. That's what I do. I have a place by our back door that the kids know, you know, if jeans are grown out now, I say they know, but I still have to remind them because that's what parenting is all about. Right. But I tell my kids, you know, oh, those don't fit. Go stick them in the donate spot because they were clean and they just tried them on. That's like in a store, you know, so they're clean. They don't need to be washed again. But, oh, those pants are too short. Go stick them in the donate spot. Go stick them in the donate box or whatever it is. You know, so that I know when I have an opportunity to donate, okay, here you go. That's what I'm donating. Okay. I don't have to go back through the house. It's just a constant, constant thing in our home. I have changed my view of stuff and value. I will say that the selling on eBay, selling at garage sales, you know, those kinds of things used to, especially the selling on eBay, knowing that you could get money for something if I was to put work into it, I used to really value everything in my home according to what could I sell it for on eBay if I needed to. I've changed that. You know, I now value empty space in my house. You know, instead of thinking, oh, well, that item is worth something, I think, oh, not tripping over a pile of stuff is worth something to me. So that's been a change for me, but it's been a gradual change. You know, if you're just now discovering A Slob Comes Clean and discovering that there are a lot of people out there who are working on decluttering their homes, and this is all new to you, you're not going to be at that place yet. You know, I mean, if you are, that's fantastic. You're making great strides. But in general, you know, it takes people some time. And that's where I talk about decluttering momentum a lot. You know, it really, you know, decluttering those things that are non-emotional first, and getting rid of, you know, the easy stuff, the stuff that you go, well, of course I don't need this, you know, going through the house with a trash bag, doing all that kind of stuff, and to where you kind of get it down to less stuff because you got rid of stuff that really wasn't hard to get rid of, but it used to blend in with the stuff that was hard to get rid of. And so it just looked like the whole thing was overwhelming. When you do that, then eventually you know, are able to change your perception of the value of things. You know, for me, like I said, I value empty space over stuff. But that, like I said, that was not, it was not, overnight for me by any means. Things can, one advantage of donating is that it can be really fast. I mean, you can go through your closet, take the stuff, stick it in your trunk, and drive to a donation spot. Maybe there's a Goodwill acceptance center. You know, I know where my in-laws live, there's one just right by their house, and there it's an attended center, and it's, you know, open pretty much all the time, and they can just go and drop stuff off anytime. Not that they do, but, you know, so that can be a huge advantage, is that it's gone immediately. I decided I don't need this. I can have it out of my house, never to be seen again. Although a disadvantage along those lines is that it can sit for a really long time sometimes when you're, thinking, oh, okay, well, I've got to run by, you know, the donation spot. I've got to go take this and donate these clothes. And I personally have had things sit in the back of my car for a little bit too long to where I needed to put something else in there, and then I had to take it out and stick it in my garage. So, you know, it's not perfect. I have not found the absolute perfect way to get stuff out of my house, but whatever. Anyway, okay. Other advantages of donating: no sorting. No, you know, when you have a garage sale, if you're going to do it well, you can't just throw everything in a box and say, okay, people, dig through this. Most people are not going to do that. But when you're donating, you can throw everything in a box. You can have, you know, pots and pans in with baby clothes, in with, you know, shoes and all this. You can put everything in one big box and just say, okay, take it. You know, so there's no sorting involved. That's one of the things I absolutely love about donating, because it helps me get things out quicker when I don't have to do that. Just a little quick note. I personally used to really have this hang up because I did sell on eBay and I made money on my kids' clothes. You know, I'd buy clothes at a garage sale for 25 cents. They would wear it and grow out of it. And then I would sell it on eBay for $6 or $7. You know, so that was great to me. I loved doing that. But I used to have a hang up about, okay, but the clothes that somebody gave me, I did not personally feel like, unless they said to me, which some of them would, they're like, hey, have your kids wear this and then sell it on eBay and make money. And I try to make sure that if I ever give clothes to somebody, I say, whatever you want to do with this, if you want to sell it, make money off of these later, no problem. You know, I have no problem with that, just to give them that freedom. Because I used to feel guilt. I was like, well, I don't think it's right for me to accept clothes from a friend, have my kid wear it, and then me sell it. That just felt icky. And so I didn't do it. So I would separate, you know, I'd go through cleaning out my kids' drawers, and I would say, okay, well, these are the things I'm going to sell on eBay, but this was given to me by somebody, and so I'm going to donate that. Well, now I just donate it all, so I don't have to worry about it. It's just one less thought process to have to go through as I do that. No pricing. You don't have to worry about the value of things. You just, you know, stick it in there. If you're going to be absolutely perfect and get everything you can out of your taxes, then you might want to itemize it. There are sites that will let you do that. But you don't have to go through and, you know, price things. And I'll talk in the future podcast about my philosophy on pricing at a garage sale. No fixing things. You know, you do want to make sure that if you're donating things, that it's not trash. You know, it's not an absolutely, useless, completely useless item. But, you know, one of the things, too, to remember when you donate stuff, several places have told me specifically, please give us your stained and torn clothing, because a lot of these places sell that stuff, fabric, you know, clothing, by the pound to rag makers or rug makers. I'm not sure exactly, but I have been told, please don't think that you can't donate stuff that is ripped or torn or stained. Now, there are some of you out there, you know who you are, who are going, that is awful, because I have worked at one, or somebody I know, you know, whatever. I try to take those things, put them in a separate bag, and mark on there ripped and torn. Okay. So then if that particular place does not sell those things by the pound, they can just throw it in the trash, you know? So you do want to go through, you don't want to donate trash at all, but you can donate something without having it be, completely fixed up and shined up and all that kind of stuff. Because, if you're going to sell something, especially if you sell it on eBay, it needs to be in perfect working condition. I mean, you need to make sure that you've documented every last little, you know, if you're selling a book and there's a tear on page 63, you got to note stuff like that on eBay. Take a picture and put it in the listing, all that kind of stuff, because people will get mad if they get it and they thought it was perfect because you didn't say anything about that. Well, you don't have to do that when you're donating. Okay. It doesn't have to be absolutely perfect. You don't have to go through and document every little thing. Okay. Yes. Law. Tax deduction. An advantage of donating is a tax deduction. Some people are more passionate about that than others. I personally have been donating to a place lately that does not have their blah, 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 whatever it is to make it deductible. And I don't care. They can have my stuff. They can sell it for whatever reason they want. It doesn't matter to me. It's out of my house. You know, we still end up donating enough to the place that does come by for the pickups that we have, you know, some to do every year. We have some donation to take off on our taxes, but that is an advantage. There are websites. If you know what they are, I'd love if you would leave in the comments for podcast number 25. I'd love it if you would leave those websites that you know. But I know there's places where you can go. I think maybe it's even Salvation Army's website, and you can go and itemize what it is that you've donated and get the actual donation tax deduction value and things like that. Disadvantages of donating. There are some, not as many, I feel, but it's giving up on the value dream. I often will donate something and I think, I know for a fact I could sell that item on eBay for $20. Okay. But I'm going to donate it anyway, because it's worth it to me to get it out of there. So it's that getting over the potential money and just being willing to get it, you know, give it away. Getting something out of the house is sometimes so much harder than it sounds. Getting it out of the car, like I mentioned before, there'll be times where I'll drive around for weeks with stuff in the back of my Suburban that I'm supposed to donate, and I just never even think about actually stopping and donating it. So it can be, that can be a disadvantage, is actually getting it out, you know, where when you have that deadline of a garage sale, you know, then it's all out there. And sometimes it's easier to load everything up into the back of your car and take that one trip, you know, whatever's left over from the garage sale.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. from mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Okay, I am at 30 minutes now. So I am going to really quickly just say that I will be doing a future podcast soon on how to decide if you should sell something on eBay. One thing I want to say really quickly, though, is that eBay is a wonderful resource for finding the value of things that will help you in this decluttering process. So I'm going to go ahead and say that in this one. And that is, if you go and if you have something that you think, oh, should I sell this or should I donate it? And it's stressing you out. Most likely you have a computer if you know about me. So go to your computer, go to eBay.com, type in that item. Okay. Most likely you are going to find pictures right there of items exactly like what you're looking at. Okay. If you don't, try different keywords. Once you find that item, go over to your left, scroll down a little bit, and click on completed listings. Now, in the olden days when I sold on eBay, you had to actually have an eBay account and be signed in to find out the completed listings. That's not true anymore. Anybody can go click on completed listings and look at that. You are looking for the numbers in green. Okay. Next to the item, you're going to see a number in green. That number in green is what the item's actually sold for. If it's in red, that's a bad thing. That means those items did not sell. So the problem is sometimes people will go on eBay and they'll have an item and they'll look and they'll say, wow, this person's selling this for $99. Oh my goodness. But that doesn't matter. It does not matter what people ask for something. The only thing that matters is what people actually got for that item. And that's why it's so important to check the completed listings, the items that are already done. Somebody tried to sell this item that looks exactly like what you have, and either, oh my goodness, these things consistently sold for $30 or $40. Wow, that really might be worth my time to put it on eBay. Or every single item here, the numbers are in red. That means that six people tried to sell an item like this in the last month and nobody even sold it. They just wasted their time and money. And that can help you really get over some of that value perception that you have over certain items. But if you look and you see, oh, well, one of them's in green, but maybe that one in green is only 99 cents. Or can, you know, just watch that. And I'll talk about that in my How to Sell on eBay or How to Decide if You Should Sell on eBay podcast. But I do want to make sure that I say that because that's such a great, easily accessible way to find out if something has value. Yes, sometimes you do need to take it to an antique dealer if it's something that really is that. But you can find out quickly, oh, okay, I thought this item was really worth something, and it's not. I personally have, just this week, I ran across some plates that I had never hung up on my wall. That's why I had them, was to hang them up on the wall, and I never did. And I love them. I mean, they're totally of value to me, but they were in these really nice boxes, like they're original boxes with documentation and paperwork on, you know, what these items were and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, oh, okay, you know, these boxes make them look like they're worth a lot more. Do I need to find a place to store the boxes, even though I'm putting these plates up on my wall? You know, but I was stressing over, do I need to keep the boxes? Well, I just went and looked on eBay and I found out that even though these items are a very high value to me because I love them and I want them to decorate my home, actually selling them, none of them were selling. I think one plate of the set of four that I had had sold, and they're like a, collectible kind of thing where they have different paintings on the different ones. One of the plates had sold for $1.99. And it was with the box. All these other ones that were with the box and with the documentation that I was worried about whether or not I should keep, they weren't even selling. So if I'm going to have those plates on the wall for potentially the rest of my life, why do I need to keep the boxes? But I was able to determine that and figure that out by checking the completed listings on eBay and getting a very realistic sense of, okay, this is how much this item is worth or isn't worth. Okay, so I will be talking in the future about ways to give things away. Actually, I'm going to do that really quick. I know I'm at 35 minutes. Sorry. Ways to give away: Free Cycle, Facebook groups, Craigslist, you know, donating to different organizations that will either come pick it up. I have a speed dial, you know, speed dial. Do they use that term anymore? Anyway, I have it programmed into my phone, this one place that I call, and they will usually come the next morning before 9 o'clock and pick it up for me. So there's lots of ways to give things away. I personally, some people love Free Cycle. I hate it because I do not like the hassle of trying to meet up with somebody and organize something and figure out first if they're a wacko before I actually give them my address and all that kind of stuff. That's not worth the hassle to me. But there are a lot of people who love to do that because then they know that an item is actually going to a place where someone will appreciate it. Ways to sell things: garage sale, Facebook groups, again, Craigslist, eBay, Amazon for certain kinds of things. There are lots of great ways to sell. So I will be talking more about these things in future podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. If you like it, I would so greatly appreciate it if you went to iTunes and left a review in iTunes. That helps other people find the podcast. Okay. That's one of the great advantages to people leaving reviews. So I greatly appreciate those of y'all who have left the reviews. Again, go to aslobcomesclean.com/podcasts and look for podcast number 25 to get the show notes from this. I would love to hear comments in the comment section, and I will see you next week. All right. Bye-bye.